there in the 5th chapter, and we'll pick it up in the 19th verse. But just to refresh a little bit, we were rejoicing in the bridal attitude. The bride does have an attitude. And it's a wondrous attitude, brothers and sisters. And thank God that it's the attitude of love is what encompasses and encapsulates all of it. And we saw that she had a fervent love attitude towards those that minister the gospel, that she truly desired to hear it, that she rejoiced in the vessel and the vessels that God had prepared to bring forth the Word of God. I'm grateful, really, so grateful that dear ones want to come and hear the Word of God. I mean, it's a marvel. Only Christ could do that. And I am saying it for my life. I believe I'd say it for yours as well, too. It is an absolute marvel and how God has prepared us for that. But then we saw the abundant joy attitude of her heart. And in that heart, we saw that she was a vessel that rejoiced always. Rejoiced always. Rejoiced always. Amen. Pray without ceasing, and giving thanks in everything to God. Without Him, that's impossible. We know that. But in Him, I want to be as Job. It took him a long time to get it, but praise the Lord, he finally said it. Lord, Thou can do everything. He can do everything. I'm finding it out that truly nothing is hard for Him in doing everything. That all things are possible. And praise the Lord, He is for us. He is so for us. And I just need to trust Him more that He said He'd even perfect that which concerns me. No matter what I see, no matter what I feel, no matter what I sense, this is God we're talking about. And we need to be convinced. We need to be confident in Him that He loves us. He absolutely, completely, totally, and wholly loves us. So now we go on to the next attitude here. And this is the spiritual attitude of this elect lady. And we pick it up here in the 19th verse. And it says very quickly, quench not the Spirit. And I praise God how direct this is. And I'm thankful to Him how necessary this is. And the great need of encouragement that we need this day and in this age. Quench not the Spirit. And I want to just briefly mention that, first of all, it's for the individual. Mentioned it earlier, as Brother David said, bless the Lord, praise God with all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, with all that is within me. Brothers and sisters, we need to be that kind of vessel. Everything, nothing held back. By the grace of God, not ashamed of the gospel. And I'm speaking especially to men, that we can cry out to God, that we're not inhibited by what people think, not even what my wife does. Let God transform you into a vessel of praise. You'll feel better. I'm telling you, you will. You'll be so thankful, and I'm not going after feeling, but praise God. What a release when I can praise Him with all that is within me. He's prepared us, if we rejoice the last two Sundays, to possess and to give out the glory of God. It's so wonderful. We have been afore prepared unto that glory. And how God has done that. And Brother Paul even said, I'm glad, he rejoiced, that he spoke more than they all. And even talking about in tongues, that wonderful tongues that would come upon him as he would yield to the Holy Spirit and it would just overflow. There's many times I get to the point, Lord, I don't even know what to pray about. I don't even know how to adequately praise you anymore. Praise God for the tongue. Praise God for the speaking in the tongue of men and angels. But that is there for the individual. But how pertinent it is now in this day and age for many grace assemblies. And this was going on in Brother Copley's time as well too. They seem to be drying up. Drying up. And I've seen it and I see it. And the reason often that they dry up is there's almost a fear of being fanatical. I don't know about you, but I think it's time that we get a little bit fanatical. I'm not kidding. I think it's time, brothers and sisters, that we allow the crazy love of the Lord, if it makes me a nut in Christ in your eyes, not that I'm trying to stir something up, But I'm in love. I'm absolutely in love with Him. And by the grace of God, I want Him to use this vessel as He sees fit. And I'll tell you what, for your sakes, by the grace of God, He'll make me sober. But there's times, brothers and sisters, it needs to bust loose. It needs to break out. You need to be exercised with that Holy Spirit, fully praising the Lord. I'm confident that David loved to dance before the Lord. I don't want to wait till I get to heaven. I hear those songs. What am I going to do? I think it's going to be a continuation on of what He's already had me do. I dance before Him often in there. Sometimes I dance before Him before you. But it's before the Lord. But I want Him to move me that way. And by the grace of God, Lord, give us that freedom. And God forbid we ever get ice growing on these pews. And I'm not kidding you. You need to break it up. Allow Him to just melt it. We need to be a people of praise. You quench that spirit and you'll lose the fervent love. You will. You won't have it. You quench the spirit and I don't see how the love of God is ever going to be shed abroad in your heart. I don't. He told me to be. And I'm beginning to let. And it's amazing what He's letting go. Isn't it? Praise the Lord. And it's wonderful what He's doing in this meeting. And it's not just for a pastor, brothers and sisters. It's for the whole assembly. And I'm thankful to God. We're becoming more and more that people that is not inhibited, that rejoices in the Lord, that sings praises to God, that is rejoicing always, that is continually in prayer, that is giving Him thanks in all things. That's a people and that's a vessel that can't help but praise the Lord and not quench the Spirit. See, the Lord gave us this Comforter, and we need the Comforter to lead. And sometimes we know the Holy Spirit, He breaks it loose. And praise be to God, I think about how I love to hear the sound of many waters. It's going to be like that. It's going to be like rushing water. I'll tell you, I was recently up there at Niagara Falls again with the kids. And this time we went over on the Canadian side. We went behind the falls. And that was something to see. But we tried to talk to one another as we were out there. You couldn't hear one another. All you could see was going like this. Because they were so excited. And we were all soaking wet. But you couldn't hear anything because all of that water. Well, I'll tell you what, it's going to be much more than that. And I'm glad when the Lord gives us a little taste of that all the time. But brothers and sisters, this is the age of the gifts. And I'm so grateful to God. And not that we get caught up into gifts. Not that we focus upon the gifts. And you know what? I don't worry about what my gift is. I really don't. Because you know what? He's going to give them as He sees fit. He is. He's able. It all comes. Those good gifts come from above. And that Spirit, the Lord, He's going to give it as He sees fit. And in that, I rejoice. And I'm thankful because you know what? I'm rejoicing for every one of them that He's seen fit to give in this body. I'm grateful to God. We are a tightly knit, compacted, wonderful, and I believe settling down in marriage body here. But brothers and sisters, as the Word of God tells us, it must be in order in the church. We quench not the Spirit, we let it go, but by the grace of God, there is an order. But God, help us not to quench the Spirit. I love to see healing. How about you? I love to see miracles. How about you? I love to see, by the grace of God, the wisdom and the discernment that comes out, and even the tongues and the interpretation. And I'd like to speak on that just for a moment. I feel led this evening. I think that there's been somewhat, maybe, a slight confusion about tongues and interpretation. And some have asked me, and I will say over the last year here, about is it okay if a tongues and interpretation would break or I should say not break, but be given during a sermon. And I'd like us to turn over to 1 Corinthians. And we'll go to the 14th chapter. Let's let the Word of God speak to us here. And that's 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We'll begin reading from verse 3. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. Now, this is very important because often we hear that prophecy is the greatest gift. I think as we read through the whole scripture, we understand that it's the love. I'll show you something greater. It's the love. And that's what we're after, is the love. Praise His name. It's all around us. It's all about us. He wants to put it in us. But when we're talking specifically, we always hear about prophecy. Well, right here, let's read what he says. He says, except he interpret that the church may receive edifying. So we understand here, and we rejoiced in this when we studied Corinthians, but let's bring it back. A tongue with an interpretation message is at least at the same level as prophecy. At least. It could be greater, I don't know. It's giving that hint, but I'm not going to go there. But it's at least at the same level. And the reason it's at the same level, brothers and sisters, is because prophecy and tongues and interpretation, or you should say tongues and interpretation, when in the Spirit, it's prophecy. It is prophecy. It's prophesying. If you think about it, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God, or it is speaking in harmony with the Word of God. That's what prophecy is. That's what a tongue and interpretation message is. If it's something else than that, then we have a problem. It's about the Word of God, edifying, promoting spiritual growth. Once it steps outside of that, no longer is it of the Spirit. It has just become of the flesh. But praise be to God, when we are in harmony with Him and these tongues and interpretation messages come, what a mighty presence of the love of God. Isn't it wonderful? Praise the Lord that we can have that. Praise the Lord that He loves us like that. That we can be instruments that He can use. And that's what's so exciting about this. Now, let's continue on. And I want you to go with me over to verse 27 with this same thought. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Going on. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold the peace. See, there's an order here. For ye may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. I'll jump to the 39th verse where it says, wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Now, the test is, did it bring peace or did it bring confusion? There'll be a peace. There's a peace that passes understanding even in your own life as you're led in the Spirit. You know it. Things can be all these different ways, but there's a peace. It's the same way in a meeting. The Holy Spirit, when He's got charge of it, complete sway on it, there's a peace. Can't deny it. There's a peace here tonight. I can just sense by the grace of God, it's not because of any of us. It's just the faithfulness of God that we've gathered in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and He's here in the midst. Now, I don't know about you, but right there, I just got peace. I'm thankful to God. Whether or not you have it or not, it doesn't really matter. We've gathered in His name, and just be thankful you're here because the peace of God is here. Now, as we continue to yield to that and the Spirit continues to take over in a meeting, and oftentimes I'm so grateful to God that evidence of the Spirit comes out in tongue and interpretation meeting, we understand that we know that it's not in flesh when we sense and we have the wonderful peace that He brings into the meeting. See, the Spirit gives utterance, brothers and sisters. And what I want to point out here is He will give opportunity for the church to be edified. As the Word of God that we just read said, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. I'll say it like this. It's a symphony. I don't know if you've ever walked in the church and it's so wonderful before the meeting starts. You just hear this little roar, you know, people visiting and all of that. And, you know, I was in music, so I went to a lot of symphonies and I sang with a lot of symphonies. And before we would get a going, and if you've ever been around those symphonies, they're all whipping out their, instruments, and one's playing a cello and one's playing a violin and the flutes are going, but they're all kind of just spurring along. But here comes the maestro. Here comes the Holy Spirit. And when He has absolute sway, I'm going to tell you, He'll use all of the vessels perfectly. And He does. And He gives them utterance when He tells them to utter. And He tells them to be quiet when He tells them to be quiet. And it's a wonderful and a marvelous thing. It's the symphony of God. And it's just wonderful to settle into it. It is. And it's beautiful. It's the most beautiful sound you'll ever hear. Sometimes it's absolutely quiet. And then sometimes there's a roar. And sometimes there'll be a speaking from here. Sometimes there'll be a speaking from over there or over there. But it's all done in order. And I'll tell you what, I have seen it get out of order. And it's a sad thing when it gets out of order. Because any time it gets out of order, it quenches the Spirit. It does. It quenches the Spirit whether the person giving a tongue and interpretation was in the flesh, or it quenches the Spirit when we prevent the interpretation or the tongue from happening. It's still the same result. It quenches the Spirit. I want to just be in harmony with God. I want to do it the way that He wants to do it. And the one thing I found with the Lord is you can't put Him in a box. You can't put the Holy Spirit in a box either, because they're God. And it's such a wonderful thing. And they're going to give utterance and they're going to speak. But there's always going to be peace. There's always going to be an absolute wonderful order behind it. And most importantly, it's always going to profess the gospel. Nothing else. It's going to 110% profess and edify His vessels. And that's what happens when this goes on. And I'm going to tell you something. There's been many a glorious tongue and interpretation message within these walls, brothers and sisters, that have broken out before the sermon was ever done. And you know it if you've been here very long. Absolutely. And there's been many a wonderful ones that have waited till it was all done. Okay? I'm just waiting on the Spirit. I encourage everyone that has that gift, just wait on the Spirit. Let Him give you the utterance. Let Him make the move, and it'll be the right time. Okay? So I don't want any confusion in that. People might have a lot of different ideas and thoughts on that. I just want to go to the Word of God. And the other thing that's so wonderful too is experience. I'm so grateful to God that over the years, in this place, the Spirit is not quenched. There's a fervent love continuing for the things of God. We rejoice in the Lord. I never want you to be inhibited to call out and to praise God. I'll never try to build it up by the grace of God. God forbid I'd ever try to do that. But never quench the Spirit. Not in your home, not in your car. You know, sober as much as you can in work. Go to the bathroom, whatever it is. But especially not in the meeting. Let's love the Lord and love to praise Him. Praise God. All right, so it's always going to be His leading. We're always going to sense that wonderful thick peace that'll be here. And you will not wonder if it was right or wrong. You'll just know. Lord, Thou knowest, and He'll cause us to know as well too. All right, goes on, verse 20. It says, despise not prophesying. So here we go. We're kind of continuing on this. The bride desires to be edified. The bride wants spiritual growth. You just do. You want to grow. And I've said it many times with Brother Hill. I appreciate right before the Lord took him home. Never stop learning. Never stop growing, son. Because I was asking him, I said, yeah. Grandpa, how do you stay, thinking like that? Being so young, the twinkle that's in your eye. Never stop learning. Never stop learning of God. There's always time to grow. One more breath to draw, there's time to grow. And that's the key. That's it. And praise God. This is the desire that she has. She wants to be edified. She wants to be cleansed and saturated with the spoken word. And I think so many have run amok with this thought of prophecy today. Don't let it confuse you. Prophecy is the word of God. People are running amok with it like there's some new truths out there, or I've got the word of the day for you, or I'm going to be over you and over you in a bondage sense because didn't you realize I'm a prophet? And by the way, I'm going to introduce you to my prophetess right here. Now, I'm telling you, we chuckle and we laugh, but there's sweet people of God that truly have been given the high calling of God in Christ Jesus' message and have rejoiced in it, that are caught up into this. And but for the grace of God, there go we. Don't think you're ever short of anything. That's why I say, you know, it's the grace of God that keeps us, that holds us, that is continuing to allow us to truly seek Him and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. The simplicity that's in the gospel, brothers and sisters, is Timothy, preach the word. I'll interpret it for you. Prophesy. Timothy, prophesy. Preach the word. 1 Corinthians 14:3. We just read it. He that prophesieth, listen to this, speaks unto men edification. He that prophesies speaks unto men spiritual growth, exhortation, comfort. And to that I say, wow, that's just what's going on right here. It's a marvelous thing. Prophecy is a wonderful thing. But it's not something that's mysterious. And, well, wait, we have to, you know, darken the room and Moses has got to show up. And it's not. The simplicity that's in the gospel. And we can chuckle at that, but I'm telling you, it's laughable, cryable. Because there's people that are caught up into that. That it's got to be some type of a feeling sensation thing and something new because it's got to tickle my itching ears. As opposed to just settling down and being satisfied with something that's so incredible that the very God is speaking to you. And He's given us everything. And we have a complete blueprint. I don't have to doubt. I know. And I know that I know. And He lets me know all the time. And praise be to God, it's always a knowledge of love. And what a gift that is. All right, verse 21. Prove all things. I think of the Berean saints when he tells me this. They were the saints that were commended by Paul, because when Paul spoke to them, they searched the scriptures to see that those things were so. They went back and searched them. They just didn't take it. They went back and made it their own. Well, that sounds great. I want to go search it. I want to go read about it. As that word is masticate, get those teeth and just chew on it. And then it becomes my own cud. And I can get it down, and I'll give you the, you know, get it down to one of those stomachs and another stomach, and Brother Hill used to say, and belch it back up. And I'd sit there, oh, I just had breakfast, I don't know if I want to think of that, but it was a wonderful thought. He'd bring it home. He did. And it was. I'll tell you, that good old farmer talking the things of God, how effective, praise God. Not it was, it is, because it's the living word, praise His name. All right, so we see that they did that. And see, fat sheep know the truth. As Brother Paul told Timothy, he said, study to show thyself approved. Prove all things unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. And the call here, brothers and sisters, is for you to know it. It's for you. You need to know this for yourself. And by the grace of God, He wants you to know it more than even you want to know it. And we can say that, sit there, and I've done it before. Well, I don't know. I don't even know where to start. I don't know how to begin. Just be still. And it comes line upon line. Speaking to a brother today, even in a sermon. And sometimes everybody can be excited, and I've been there, and yet I didn't feel anything. And I just was almost envious of everybody else and thought, oh, Lord, why? Why am I not entering into this? Why is it not affecting me like that person over there or them? Is there something wrong with me? Now let me tell you something. That's when faith's really got to take over. Lord, I want my heart rejoicing. I want to receive the things that You want me to receive. But let me tell you something. If it was just one thing that you got out of this tonight, one little thing, one part of Scripture that struck your heart, you got it. That's what He gave you for that day. Isn't it awesome? That's your God. And it's okay. And He'll bring you out. We're all in different seasons right now. The only season that's common to everybody is, I'm telling you, you're in season for the coming of the Lord. But some might be in different segments of their path. Some might be on the mountaintop tonight. Some might be in the darkest valley. But you know the one thing I'm starting to understand? We're all part of that same wonderful body. And I'm rejoicing for you. And I want you rejoicing for me. And by the grace of God, there's passion taken over. I was reading about those words for Sunday. It's not compassion anymore. It's passion. I'm starting to get passion for you. You better watch out how I might pray for you. And I better watch out how you might pray for me. Whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it takes, the passion to get in there and fight the good fight of faith. And I'm understanding that that's the body. We walk alone, but praise be to God, we're part of that wondrous body. Oh, hallelujah, how we're loved. All right, but this call is for us to know this word. This is your title deed. You need to know your inheritance personally. You really do. We need to read it and rejoice in it. Then it goes on to say, hold fast that which is good. See, He's given us that goodness. He's placed it in our hands. It's there. He's given us all things. He withholds nothing good from us, does He? Now He says, hold it fast. Embrace it. Cherish it. And obviously we know first and foremost it's the Word of God. But praise the Lord, this is a sweet one that dwells on the lovely things. That dwells on the true. That dwells on the good report. I start thinking of that and I said, well, that's just dwelling on Christ Jesus. And absolutely. It stays with, it stands in and on the Word. It reckons the flesh dead. It learns to go by faith. That's the good. Faith is the good. God forbid we go by feeling or sensation or what makes my flesh tingle. The things that are good, brothers and sisters, the life that is good is when we settle up and settle with Jesus. That is the truth. The grass is not greener on the other side. I'm telling you, I'm telling me, we're in a field of knee-deep clover. And we better start appreciating it. You jump the fence from where God has set you and given you this message, you're going to regret it. You're going to be sorry. You're going to miss time that you could have had with God in the most intimate of fellowship. And it's not a thing to scare you, but it should hurt your heart. And God forbid you'd ever miss that first trump. I don't know. All I know is He tells me, love My appearing. And in loving My appearing, lovest thou Me more than these? Really, lovest thou Me more than these? Is anything more important than winning His best? And I know by the grace of God, we'd all raise our hands and say, oh no, may we just trust Him and really recognize how good we got it. You know how good you got it? You know how blessed you are? Rise up! Arise! Isn't it wonderful? God, help me to not sulk. Help me to not just think everything's against me. How good you got it. You got it all. You do. Yes. I'm thankful. And God is moving in us. Praise the Lord. 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. See, I had that Bible that had some for a long time. Some appearance of evil? No. All appearance of evil. This is a big one. It really is. The Word of God is true. He's warning us. And notice here, it's not just evil, it's the very appearance of evil. Protect the testimony, I believe, is the call here that He has given us. And brothers and sisters, I think there's two necessary ingredients in this. It's wisdom and have an pliable heart. Do you hear that? Wisdom and a pliable heart. And God can give us both of those to understand when this appearance of evil is going on. You've heard me say it often. It's all about environment. What environment are you seeking? Are you seeking the environment of godly things? Are you seeking the environment of the world? And that's in everything in our lives. And see, the problem is we try to piecemeal it. I was visiting with a brother, and so sweetly the Lord had brought back a wonderful lesson that He taught me in the Word of God about every root of bitterness. And I tried that gardening thing for a while. I was trying to be inspired by my mom and my grandpa. And I realized that gardening wasn't for me. But I did get a couple things out of it. Some fruit, but mostly a good lesson. And the good lesson was it was probably about a 10 by 10 or 12 by 12 area. And Polly and I tried to do it for a few years. And she was more gung-ho at it than I was. But I don't know if either of us were farmers. We're thankful for fast foods and things of that nature. But what had happened was we had planted that garden, and that first year that, you know, the corn came up real nice and everything was really good. And, you know, there were a few weeds, but it was like, wow, you know, this stuff still comes up. There's still fruit. It's great. Second year, there was, you know, more weeds. And we had trouble with a bindweed that would always come up in there. You know, I'd kind of come out there and pick it out and do some things with it. And, you know, after about 4 or 5 minutes, it was like, oh, this is not for me. And I'm sure it's going to be okay. And that second year, things looked a little bit sick, but we still had fruit. Okay? Well, the third year came around. And I thought, you know, it's not as bad this year because the bindweed wasn't as plentiful. You couldn't see it all over the place. It just seemed like here and there and there. But you know what? Most of the stuff we planted never even came up. It didn't even come up. The corn came up, and, you know, it was like, you know, 6 feet high the first time we did it. But it was about that high, and it had ears on it that were about that big, and they weren't the special kind of corn. That's the truth. Well, what happened is I went out there and I started messing with the weed, and I thought, well, you know, pull that up. Well, it wouldn't pull. And then I started looking at that thing, and that weed, even though I could only see little bits of it here and there, and absolute truth, it went all the way through that garden. It choked off every single thing. And what it spoke to me was, all that is within me, son, all that is within you. Is it all there? See, these little teeny places that we keep back from the Lord can affect the whole thing. It can strangle the whole garden. And this is what He's getting at here when He's, you know, telling us to abstain from all the appearance of evil. And that evil is bitterness. It's all these things. It's whatsoever is not of faith is sin, evil. And it starts to reign. Or we ignore it. Or we think it's going to go away and we bury it. We're good at that as people. God forbid, because I'm going to tell you something. It's still there. And most of the time it grew. Root it up. Get it out. And deal with it. And that's what God has called us to. He did. And you deal with it unto Him. And you tend that garden. And you tend your garden, not your neighbor's, but yours. There's enough weeds right there, and there's enough tending that has to happen right there. And by the grace of God, I'm telling you, I had to go back and do it. We plowed up every inch of that garden. And it was so bad we even had to bring in new soil. That's how bad it was. So, that's, at least to me, a sweet lesson of understanding that and understanding the environment. It's vitally important. I'd like to give another example in this. Is there's different ones of us that are starting to come up against our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm talking about families and friends. And I guess the question I ask you is, who are you drawing near to in your life? What environment are you choosing? Okay? Now, I know all of us are right. Didn't you know that? And I talk to people in the office. Did you know everybody's right that comes in there? Everybody is. Oh, I don't have an issue. I don't even know why I'm here. I'm right. Well, let me tell you something. I want you to ask yourself one thing and be honest. Who's the one that's out of sort? Where am I looking for my comfort? Am I trying to justify my acts or my ways by trying to twist Scripture? I've done that. Am I trying to find my comfort or my answer in the world or even with worldly Christians? I've done that. Well, there's your answer. It's absolutely your answer. The ones that you're coming up against might be the ones that are actually praying for you and loving you. Might even come to you and say, hey, look, you know what? Your house is on fire. Your house is on fire. God help us to take it right. God help us to have tender hearts. God help us to go to those in love, knowing that, you know, let me tell you something, you get that mote out of your eye, but go to your brother and sister in Christ and say, hey, look, you know, I love you. And here's what's going down. Here's what's going on. And I'm telling you, by the grace of God, listen. And listen quick before you get consumed. And as this word says here, flee, run from the very appearance of evil. I know there's ones out here tonight that are playing with it still, thinking that they can lead the dual life. You can't. It's going to bring you down. It will. It'll destroy you. A little leaven will leaven the whole lump. My heart hurts. I'm telling you, take the victory. He's already given it to you, and He has. He's given you all things. You're His workmanship. Righteousness and true holiness is yours. That new man. Now the choice is yours. Will we yield? Will we yield? All right. Now, by the grace of God, I'm going to trust Him that we have this bridal attitude. Do we have the bridal attitude? I pray that we do. We know it's all by grace. And there's a wonderful benefit of a bridal attitude. It's armor. It's armor that results in being sanctified. Set apart to God. Hallelujah. Entirely separated to Christ. So separated, maybe even, brothers and sisters, as Brother Paul said, if by any means, Philippians 3:11, is that by the grace of God written across our hearts? If by any means. That was that wonderful song that those sisters sang. It was either last week or the week before. Whatever it takes. That's if by any means. I might attain to the out resurrection. Praise God. Saved. I tell you, you talk about the ultimate salvation. You talk about the ultimate of this sanctification. Taken out from the body itself. Isn't that wonderful? Spared before the tribulation ever got here. Now that's some sanctification. That's truly being set apart to God. But let's read it here in verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, this is wonderful. Brother Copley got into this and talked about that peace. He said, oh, the peace of God, complete in every way. Peace with God, having the peace of God, and dwelling, praise God, in peace with God. It's so wonderful. What potential, and who wouldn't want this? You do want it. Your flesh may tell you, oh, we'll get it at a later time. You want it now. You want the peace of God. You want that wonderful peace of God and dwelling with God right now. Absolutely. But notice here what he's saying. To get it, it's all. It's wholly sanctified. Not pieces that are set apart. We've talked about it many times in this pulpit. Well, Lord, I'll give you this, I'll give you this, but I can't give you that. That's not wholly sanctified. Wholly sanctified is it's all on the altar. Christ Jesus, you got all of me. This is the message that you hear here. It's, Lord, I will go. I didn't leave my arm back there. I didn't leave my leg back there. I took it all. I'm going all after you. David was blessed. David was blessed because he fully went after the Lord. His son Solomon didn't. And he was stunted. He didn't finish with joy. He finished with sadness. And he looked out upon all that. And he said, O vanity of vanities, empty of emptiness. He knew he missed it. Yeah, he did, didn't he? And he had more than any man that's ever walked the face of this earth has ever had. And he knew the Lord. And he loved the Lord. And he had great wisdom. But he didn't fully go after the Lord. He didn't wholly, as it said here, he wasn't wholly sanctified. It wasn't complete. It wasn't the song of David, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I want to bless the Lord. Listen to that. I can bless Him, O my soul, and all that is within me. I love that. He loves to have me worship Him. He loves to have me praise Him. Praise God as much as I'm thinking in all of His blessings and benefits towards me. He is absolutely thrilled that I'm allowing, by the grace of God, His glory to enter this life and praise Him. So I want all that's within me to do that. And it is, by the grace of God, it's a privilege. It's not a duty. It's just something willingly that happens. It's love. I can't force that. The light went on. Praise God, I'm so thankful that I see the switch, Lord. You gave it to me. The grace is there. By faith, all I do is go turn it on. And it's there. And it's there in everything. Everything, brothers and sisters. There's nothing hard for God. You can do everything. Praise God. And God wants us to enter in fully. This call is entirely. And notice here, it's spirit, it's soul, and body. And I'll just touch on them briefly. The spirit. How about desiring the deepest fellowship? That's the call here. My spirit, by the grace of God, desires the deepest fellowship. A soul completely apart from carnal or fleshly living. Lord, I don't want to go that way. I don't want to worship that way. I want to worship You in spirit and in truth. And then finally, praise God, how about a body that's ready to go? A body that's ready to be changed. Praise God, a new body that's ready to be given. Saints, brothers and sisters, are already in a sense set apart to God. If you're a child of the King, you're seated together with Him in the heavens in Christ. There is this sense of being sanctified. They are already made sinless. But brothers and sisters, this is so much more. This is blameless. And that's pretty deep. Blameless. Complete. Perfect. How about that church without spot or wrinkle? How about someone that's readied? Are you living in Canaan now? Or do you just think that's for a later date? I'm going to go down in Egypt and hang there for a little bit. And when I get to heaven, I guess, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't. I'm living in Canaan now. There's no regrets that are weighing me down anymore. I'm not living a life of guilt. By the grace of God, I've repented. Godly sorrow has entered my life. I'm thankful for that forgiveness. It's been there. The moment that I accepted that death upon the cross was for me. And I've left it there. Praise God. And now by grace, I'm forgetting those things which are behind. It's all laid right there. It's all at the cross. The blood covered all of it. And I'm now on the quest, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Pressing on. It's got to be every weight set aside. It's got to be a full departure from the camp. Oh, but I like to go back there and spend weekends. I got to go. And I got to go now. Eliezer is ready. The camel is running. And I need to get on and go. Praise God. And it is now. That calling is now. And the only goal in spirit, soul, and body, and Brother Paul, every chapter that we've read in 1 Thessalonians, the goal is the coming of the Lord. It's the first trump. It's being ready. It's being attentive. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. I'm so grateful to God. I've heard a couple people recently say, been here for a long time, I see that the Lord could come at any time. And not just, oh, He could come, but He's coming for me at any time. That's the difference. Not just coming. He's coming for me. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. And you think, well, this sounds so great. And how can it be? Let's go ahead and read verse 24, because here's how can it be. Because faithful is He. That's how it be. You get it? Not because you are faithful, because faithful is He that calleth you. Oh my! He is calling. He's got your number. And He's calling and calling and calling. And I'm just like you. I've asked Him, Lord, just give me a break. Thank God I've said, Lord, I'm changing my number. I've never said that. Felt like it. But He keeps calling. And He keeps calling. And why? Who also will do it. Isn't that wonderful? He's the one that He's faithful. He's the one that calls. And He's the one that does it. Man, He could have just given us that verse, you know, and said, okay, here you go. Well, it's enough for me. But think of all and how many times He gives us that promise that it's there and it's there and there. And what does it all say? It just says grace. It says that we are His workmanship. And if we will merely yield to the calling, He says He'll do it. You've heard it before. He that wills to know is going to know. By the grace of God, if I have a desire to finish with joy, You're going to perform it. By the grace of God, if I have a desire to apprehend You, I believe that You'll perform that good work. That's the boldness that we can have in Him. The bride doesn't live in fear. I don't wonder if He's going to marry me. I want to marry Him by the grace of God. I haven't already attained it, but I'm confident in His ability. I'm confident in His love toward me. I know my love could fail, but I'm so grateful for His love for me, that His desire is toward me, that I am my beloved's. Yeah. And you talk about free love. You talk about an environment that is just rest and peace. And Lord, not only can I finish this with joy, You're going to enable me to finish this with joy. My goodness. Praise the Lord. So, as Brother Paul says, he says, so pray for us. Now, isn't that interesting? I'm sure there's a lot of reasons he said pray for us. If you read Paul's epistles, there's lots of reasons to pray. He got frustrated. He got angry. He got sad. He had all the gamut of emotions. But I want to stay in this thought. I really do believe he's saying to pray for him, because pray for us to yield to this. Pray for us to yield to it's your faithfulness. For us to yield that, Lord, we're your workmanship. That, Lord, you have called us. That you're the one that's faithful and you're the one that will do it. Pray for us that we will believe that. Pray for us that we will yield to, Lord, let it be thy will, not mine. Paul needed that till his last breath. He was ready to be offered, but he knew all that time it had to be the faithfulness of God. It had to be grace. And I can't impress upon you anymore, and it's really hard to explain, the freedom and the rest, the confidence in His ability. When that light really comes on, that God is for you, that He's already provided this, that I don't have to run scared or walk quietly or walk sheepishly. That I truly can, not because I'm bold in anything in my ability. I know I'm a total flop. But I know that He can do everything. And immediately, it's a double portion. And you know, I found out He doesn't just stop with one double portion. He doesn't. And I'm learning to ask. I'll tell you, you'd think, man, you just asked for too much. You could never ask for too much with God. Ever. Just keep asking for it. And the amazing thing is He just keeps giving it. You know how you teach your kids to be polite? Well, that's great that He gave it, but don't ask for any more. You know, that's really not that. With God, you just get in there and you keep asking. Ask and seek and knock. It's wonderful. Praise God. Be bold in that throne room. Be bold in that throne room. All right, in verse 26, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. That's that dwelling together in love, settling down in marriage, talking about the holy kiss. That's why we do kiss one another. The holy kiss is actually a kiss that's upon the lips as well, too. Now, I do encourage us, but for the grace of God, we could run around like the Corinthians. And we could. And we need to respect one another, too, really. Don't just pull somebody in and say, well, I'm going to make you, you know. No, that's not the love of God either. All right? Let the Lord lead that. Some hugs are best left for your spouse like that. Okay? Be appropriate in the things of God we love. But we love with that consideration and that holiness that He's given us to be considerate one toward another. If someone's uncomfortable, recognize it. If you're uncomfortable, by the grace of God, in love, tell that person. And if somebody tells you in love, should you get all burned up about it? Should you get offended about it? Shame on you if you did. How about just pray about it? And not pray about, well, I'm right and that person's wrong. Just pray that we'd have the freedom. You know what I'm saying? Okay? Really, I've been a pastor long enough to know that this can defeat some people. And it can defeat a lot of people. So don't think it's silly. All right? The little foxes. And they get in any way they can. And there's a reason that Paul goes through these boom, boom, boom with the Holy Spirit and giving us this. All right, verse 27. I charge you by the Lord that the epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. That's kind of interesting. I thought all brethren were holy. Well, they are. But this is going a little deeper here. Just like, I'll tell you, well, we're in Thessalonians. It went deeper. It went all in. These are the Philadelphia saints in Thessalonica, brothers and sisters. These are the high calling ones. 3 weeks of ministry. And God had moved their hearts. This letter was written within a year back to these folks. Come on. It's beyond. Hallelujah. So beyond. But as I read this, you understand it's for us. It's for us. This charge is to the most holy. All brethren are holy, but this is emphasizing that these are the mature sons of God. This is what this holy is inferring. But he's encouraging this to be read, and especially read to those that are encouraged and are running to win Christ. And finally, he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And I love Brother Paul because by grace, he always leaves his letters with the power of how it's all applied. None of this will ever take any effect in your life except by grace. That's it. It's got to be applied by grace. There's only one way you grow, and that's in grace. There's only one way that this is ever going to become a reality, is by grace. And you think about what he says here. He says, may it be with you. May it be with you. He's talking to brothers and sisters of like precious faith, and he says, may it be with you. See, the hope is that it is with you. And the reason he says it that way is because all God's children don't dwell in grace. It's grace that saved every one of us. But if you depart from that grace, let me tell you something, you're not going to grow. So that's why he's saying, rejoice in it, dwell in it, go on with it. The key to all growth is in this grace, the word of his grace. It tells us that it's able to build us up, give us an inheritance among all them. Wow, can you imagine that? That are sanctified. You see the pattern again and again and again. You want to be sanctified? It's by grace. You want this bridal attitude of the heart? I believe all of us do. It's by grace. Want to be ready? Want to be able to really possess and hold and cherish the things that are good and to flee the very appearance of evil? It's not by going to and finding my accountability partner. Doesn't work that way. It doesn't go by, I'm going to write a list of all the things I'm going to do today and all the things I'm not going to do today, and I got to put this rubber band on my wrist, and every time I feel like that, I'm going to tighten it up. I'm not kidding you. You want to grow? You want victory? Grace. You just got to believe that he's already provided it. You got to believe his word, and his word works effectually in them that believe it. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your truth. Again, just overwhelmed in the simplicity that's in your gospel. Thank you that you've called us. Thank you that you're the faithful one. Thank you that you're going to perform it. Let us just trust you. Let us enter into that rest, the very rest of your Father. Confidence that it's in my Son. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.